Hey, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto, and as you may have noticed, I am not wearing a t-shirt with something goofy across the front, and that's because I am in someone else's office. I'm in the office of Steve Stancroft, who's from Romano and Stancroft. Steve, good to see you.
Nice to be here with you.
Yeah, well, it's your office. You get to be here anytime you want, but I dragged my equipment over here because a couple things. About a month ago or so, I put up a video and I said, hey, by the way, if you've got lemon law claims in other states, you know, something, I don't handle cases in other states, but I've got viewers in other states. I've got 80,000 subscribers now on YouTube. So people contact me and say, Steve, I'm in Arizona, I'm in Indiana, I'm in Wyoming, you know, can you help me? And I say, I'm sorry, I can't. And one day I was talking to you guys, meaning you and Mark Romano, and I said, you guys handle cases in other states? And you said, yeah, we do. And I said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell people to contact you guys because I know you guys.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing lemon law?
So I've been doing lemon law for 22 years now.
Okay.
Since 1997.
And Mark Romano's been, actually, I found this out this morning, he's been an attorney 1 year longer than me.
So yeah, we both passed the bar in 1990.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
So we've been at it that long.
Yeah, and I passed the bar in 91. So it's kind of funny because I remember back when I was considered a youngster at the law, and now I'm actually becoming one of the older...
It happens to all of us.
It does. I was going to say older and wiser, but I have a feeling most people would actually call me out on that one. So exactly. The funny thing is, and there's a bunch of funny things, but when I talk on my videos about the lemon law, you know, I've been doing nothing but lemon law for 28 years, I tell people stories and I say, you know, I had a client once whose car had an engine, the engine blew up 7 times in a row. And I say, you know, and if you've got a great lemon law case, you still may have to hire an attorney and litigate. And people go, oh, that can't be true. And I get calls from people who say, Steve, my car's been in the shop 4 times. The transmission blew up. It looks like a slam dunk lemon. And I say, yeah. And they say, why can't I handle it on my own? And I say, because they won't do that. And people, oh, come on. Am I telling the truth on that?
Yeah, you really are. And it's really amazing to me that we even have a job. Right, because you think of most manufacturers when they're presented with these facts that you just described. Hey, my car's been in 4 times. My car's been out of service for 30 days. They're going to say, okay, Mr. Consumer, we're going to help you. We're going to take your car back. But they don't.
Right.
They are always looking for an angle to get out. And, you know, the problem that most people don't realize with the lemon law is that there are all these requirements you have to meet to satisfy the lemon law.
Right.
So it's not just that the vehicle has been in for 4 times, but the defect has to substantially impair the value or the use of the vehicle. The defect has to continue after that fourth repair. You have to provide a notice to the manufacturer in a written form, certified.
Right.
Or else the manufacturer can say, hey, we didn't get the letter. We don't think the problem continues. We don't think the problem was that you presented was for the same defect or condition. We think it was different each time you brought it in, even though the engine light came on every time. So there are lots of ways to defend these cases.
And that's the scary part. I've had someone who said, I was driving my car along and the car died. Okay, that's the most basic thing you can have happen to a car. You're driving along, your car dies. Everyone knows what that means.
Right.
But let's assume that you don't. You pulled over to the side of the road, it wouldn't restart, it wouldn't go anywhere. You call the dealership, have it towed in, and they... say, you know, something, we found a bad wire in there. We replaced a wire. They give it back to you. You're driving away from the dealership. It dies again.
Correct.
Gets towed back. They go, oh, we found something wrong with the computer. We'd reflash the computer. They reflash the computer, give it back to you. You're driving. It dies again. They go, oh, it turns out the engine control modules. Wait, wasn't it the computer? No, different thing. Each time they work on it, they fix something different. And so when you come into court and go, my car died on me 4 times, they go, well, 4 different problems. And these kind of idiotic arguments, you go, wait, they make idiotic arguments? What's worse is that courts can be hostile to consumers. And you guys try a lot of cases. I know this. So you know this too. That, for instance, in Michigan, it's 30 days in the shop in the first year can make it a lemon if you meet certain conditions.
Correct.
4 times the same problem in the first 2 years or the first one happening the first year, that can also be. But we had, for instance, an appellate court in Michigan say, well, the 30 days have got to be for the same condition. So that means, correct me if I'm wrong, hypothetically, I could have a car that's in the shop 29 days for one problem. I get it back. That problem's fixed, but another problem happens the next day. 29 days, and I could do that for the entire year, have my car for 14 days. The rest of the time it's in the shop, it's not a lemon under Michigan law, according to our Court of Appeals.
You're right. Yeah, and this is the problem that consumers run into across the country. And like you just said, manufacturers will defend these cases by saying, we made different repairs.
Right.
Well, that's not the way we read it as consumer attorneys, right? We're reading, it doesn't matter what you repaired, it matters what the experience was for the consumer.
Right.
So, you know, and the other issue that they, the manufacturers, you know, really like to use, or the way they like to defend these cases is say, well, it's not a substantial impairment.
Right.
Yes, you brought the vehicle in, but it didn't really prevent you from using the vehicle the way you wanted to. You got 15,000 miles on it in the first year.
Right.
So how much is this really affecting your use? So that's the other problem.
You know? And that's actually one of the most annoying arguments that manufacturers make is you buy a car and it's got some weird problem that doesn't prevent you from driving it, but it makes driving it a nightmare. So, for instance, I had a guy who had a car. He brought it into the shop 35 times, one of my favorite clients. And every time it rained, water leaked in behind the firewall and got on the passenger car floor. He's driving around with his feet in water up to his ankles. And he told me this. I didn't believe him. I saw all the repair orders showing water leaks, okay? And one day he came by the office and said, Steve, come on outside. I want to show you something. It's pouring rain. I go, can we wait till it stops? He goes, yeah, no, come on right now. Opens the door, this much standing water inside his car. The manufacturer on that one said, well, every time he brings it into us, we work on it. And he can still drive the car. Ankle deep in water. I mean, but they make those arguments.
Yeah, they do. And the other thing is, you know, as you know, Steve, having done this for so long, it really breaks down by manufacturer. There are manufacturers who want to help.
Right.
And they will, you know, not necessarily go out of their way, but with a little nudge from us, they'll help people.
Right.
And there are others who will defend these cases to the end of time,
right?
Regardless of the repair histories, regardless of everything that the consumer's gone through. So it's it can definitely be a challenging practice area. It, on its face, it looks like it should be, like you said, a slam dunk, but it's not.
Yeah. Well, for me, I enjoy it because I get to talk to people about cars all day long. So that makes it a little easier for me. But the idea that different manufacturers handle these cases differently is one of the things that I think most people find surprising. Because if you call me up and say, Steve, I've got a car, it stalled on me four times, brought it in all these times, done everything necessary of me, they go, how good's the case? And the first question I ask them is, who's the manufacturer?
Exactly.
Because they do handle these cases differently. And they're also have been eras where the manufacturers have changed their policies or their, I don't know what to call it, where I know, for instance, that one of the big three downtown spent a couple of years taking everything to trial.
Right.
And then one day they woke up and said, this is stupid because they have to pay the attorney fees when they lose.
Well, you asked how long I've been doing lemon law, and I told you I've been practicing for 29 years, doing lemon law for 22. Well, that's how I got into it.
Right.
Is Ford decided, in its infinite wisdom, to take everything to trial. We're going to stop paying consumers on cases, regardless of how many times the vehicle has been in, regardless of the defect, the impact it's having on the consumer. And that's all I did for 2 years. It was go to trial against Ford.
Right.
Until, like you also said, they kept losing.
Yeah.
And not just only paying the consumer, but paying the fees. And that's the beauty of the Lemon Law. And the other laws that we use to help people is that our fees are paid by the manufacturer. And it allows us to help people who wouldn't be able to afford that, or you know, afford to hire an attorney, but yeah, sometimes you really have to take it all the way.
Yeah, and the funny thing, I remember that era, and it's kind of funny because there's this whole notion that, you know, when you go into court, you're dealing with a big corporation, but there's an attorney there who represents them, and we get to know these attorneys over time the same way that, you know, if you work in a small legal field, you encounter the same attorneys and you know them. It's one of the reasons I know you guys is because you're in the same field I am. But the funny thing is that, and this has got to be true of you because it's true of me, I've outlasted several different law firms at Ford, several GMs.
Absolutely.
And I remember going into court one day. In fact, it was the guy with the leaky car that had the standing water inside his car. We went into court one day on a motion in that case. And as we were walking out, I got a phone call from a guy. I said, Steve, I just got the Ford account. And I said, can I go back in and tell the other guy he's been fired? He goes, no, you've got to wait a day or two on that.
Right. Now, I think we've seen it all by this time.
Yeah.
You know, almost, you know, 30 years practicing, over, you know, two decades of practicing in this specific area. And you see the sands are always shifting. Just when you think the manufacturer's kind of figured out, okay, this is a good approach to take with the consumer. We're helping people out.
Right.
We're you know, giving them some money, but that's going to keep them, you know, one of our customers. Because remember, if the manufacturers are really looking at this properly, the way I think of it anyway, is that if they help people, then they're more likely to come back and buy another product from them. If they really are defending these cases vigorously and not providing the assistance that they really are you know, entitled to, then, you know, it's highly unlikely they're going to go back and buy another GM or another Chrysler or whatever. So, yes, we've gone through all different forms of how they approach settlement, the firms that they hire to defend the cases, and so on.
And, yeah, and absolutely. One of the other funny things about all of this is there was a law called the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, which you know about, I've talked about before, but it's the federal lemon law. And it's a law that talks about consumer products that come with warranties, and if the manufacturer can't fix something under warranty after a reasonable number of repair attempts, you can sometimes get them to buy it back or get some kind of money damages. And people say, then why do you need a state lemon law when you've already got the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act? Well, the state lemon laws give the bright lines. Right. Magmoss says what's reasonable, whereas the lemon laws say, you know, this many repair attempts, this many days in the shop. So I think the state lemon laws are passed to give clarity to the field so that a consumer could go, yes, I've got a case, or no, I don't have a case. Likewise, an attorney should be able to say, yes, you've got a case, no, you don't have a case. And what was always strange to me was when the manufacturers refused to look at early settlement and forced every one of these to go through some litigation because they pay their own attorneys plus us.
Right.
And it seemed to me if you're a corporation and all you're concerned about is your bottom line, and that's a very mercenary way of thinking, but that's many corporations do, they'll spend less if they do an early resolution attempt to look at it and go, you know, we're going to lose this. Let's just buy it back. Some manufacturers do that. Some do not. And that's what baffles me.
Right. And that's really why we're able to help people in so many states.
Right.
Because there are a number of manufacturers, primarily the big three, Ford, GM, and Chrysler, who really encourage us to submit claims to them before taking it to the next level, going into the court system.
Right.
Because you and I both know, once a case gets filed and it's trying to wind its way through the court system, it can be in that system for years.
Right.
And there's still, you know, it's unlikely, you don't know what the resolution is necessarily going to be, especially, like you already alluded to, how particular judges are going to react, how juries are going to react. Being in Michigan, this is big three country,
right.
And there's a bias against the consumer.
Right.
There are many judges who favor the manufacturer.
Yeah.
So you really have to look at where you are and the jury makeup and everything else when deciding how far you want to take these cases. But it's nice to have manufacturers like, look, give your documents to us. Let us look and see what your client's gone through, and we're going to be willing to help them out without having to go through the court process.
Yeah, I remember in the mid-90s, early 90s, maybe about 93 or 94, because I was filing lawsuits against all the big three and everybody else, and I remember the morning I got a phone call. Remember Jack at Chrysler? Jack Ellis?
Before
your time?
Sure.
This guy called me up, and he goes, hey, Steve, he goes, I'm in-house at Chrysler, and we're going to take a new approach on these. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, we're going to go, like, everything's going to trial or something. He goes, no. He goes, you just sent over a complaint on a case because it looks good to me. Can we just buy it back? And I'm like, okay, there's got to be a trick here. Something's going on. And I said, seriously? And he goes, no. He goes, and he basically said that he had talked to his supervisors and convinced them it was best to do it this way. And also, how many times have you had a client, regardless of what car they bought, who said, I will never buy another car from these people again. I'm going to go buy from them. But then you have somebody who bought one of theirs and go, I'm never going to buy from them. Because of the way they get treated.
Absolutely.
And so they're burning up goodwill by defending the cases.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then it's interesting, too, from the dealer perspective, because really our claims are against the manufacturer.
Right.
Right. I mean, all these claims are based on this warranty.
Right.
That the manufacturer provides. And what's a warranty? A warranty is a promise that we're going to fix your vehicle. And
right.
if they can't live up to the promise, then there are these remedies you're entitled to as a consumer. The dealers who I think understand that are like, look, Mr. Consumer, we're sorry we can't fix your car, but you know it's not us.
Right.
And we want to help you we've had actually dealers tell clients to call us. And those are really smart dealers because it really isn't their fault.
Right.
They've got a product that they can't fix.
Yeah.
So then that client is much more likely to go back to that same dealer and say, hey, you know what? I just got a bad one.
Right.
I'm really willing to get some better.
Right, right, right. By the way, once again, this is Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto, of course, and this is Steve Stancroft of Romano and Stancroft, and they do lemon law work not just in Michigan, but 22 other states.
Yes. Yeah.
And you just raised an interesting point. I've actually had several people tell me not only did the dealer tell them to call an attorney, I've had a dealer tell them to call Steve Leto. And
sure.
I actually got a vehicle bought back at a big dealership over here in Dearborn, and the service manager after the buyback came over and goes, do you have any cards? And I go, yeah. And he goes, And I started to hand him one. He's reached when he grabbed the rest of them. And he goes, I give these to people. Because the manufacturer buys the car back. And the dealership knows that there are cars they can't fix. And it's not their fault.
That's exactly right.
But that brings us back. I have to mention the Ford dual clutch transmission. Because that's one of the most mind-numbing things. How many clients have you had who said, I brought the vehicle in because it was shifting funny. The first time I brought it in, they reflashed something. Second time, they redid something else. Third time, they actually replaced the clutch packs. Fourth time, they said it was my fault.
Right.
And they were also told, we've never heard of this before.
Yes. You really do run the gamut with the way that that Ford's dealing with it, the way the dealers are dealing with it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Those claims and the fact that Ford rolled out that transmission, had it in all those vehicles from 2011 to 2016, they knew about the problem, and they continued to use it. Now, I think they, you know, in their defense, I think that they did believe that they were modifying it sufficiently, that the later models were better, and they might have been, but there's still, you know, still a major issue. And as we know now, that class action was certified, and now it was just vacated.
Yep.
So it's still kind of in limbo in terms of what that means for the consumer, but we are going full force, full steam ahead and trying to submit claims on behalf of people, again, saying, look, the class action is in this kind of hold status right now. And we think, you know, Ford will do what's right and help people.
Right. And I always tell people, I jokingly tell people that I consider myself to be like an emergency room surgeon in the inner city who sees nothing but gunshot victims all day long. Because people will call me up and say, or they'll comment on my videos and say, Steve, you know, you're always describing these defective cars. There can't be that many out there, or they can't be as bad as you say they are. And if you look at it mathematically, they build millions of cars.
Right.
If 1% of 1% of them is defective, it keeps us busy all day long. But not all the cars are bad. But the point is that these cars do exist. And how many times have you had a client tell you, I've never sued anybody before. I never wanted to sue anybody before. I've never spoken to an attorney before. But right now, I'm so ticked off about my car, I want to sue everybody over at that car company because they won't help me.
Right. Yeah, every week.
Okay.
Yeah, and or, you know, then you're always trying to talk down the person who wants to drive their car through the showroom door or into the showroom.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It really is. And, you know, it kind of all goes back to what we started talking about, that you would think the manufacturer would have just taken care of these individuals when they're called. But, you know, these call centers, depending, again, on the manufacturer, these people are trained to get rid of the consumer.
Right.
Because remember, there's a small percentage of people who are actually going to come to us.
Right.
Most consumers are still going to go trade their vehicles in when they're having problems. They're going to take what the manufacturer told them at face value that, sorry, you know, you're not entitled to any legal assistance, and they never do that follow-up.
Right.
And if it's really too bad, because most people, if they just would call us and ask, hey, look, here's what I've been going through, if you don't meet the requirements of the Lemon Law, which, you know, we really haven't gotten into that, but, you know, there's pretty specific requirements.
Right.
It's hard to meet those in a lot of different states, but that's okay. There's other laws, like the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, the federal Lemon Law, where we can provide you real assistance.
Right.
And that's really important for people to remember. Don't just go trade your vehicle in. If you've had that vehicle in over and over for defects, or it's been out of service for numerous days, and it's, you know, this has happened during the warranty period, then we can absolutely help you.
And at least make the call to find out, because the
absolutely.
Calls are free.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things I always tell people is they'll say, well, Steve, I've already, and when I hear that sentence, I know it's going to end badly, because they're never going to say, I've already gathered my papers together and I'm prepared to talk to you. It's, I've already called the 800 number and opened a file. I've already called the Attorney General's office. I've already complained on Yelp. I've already complained to the Better Business Bureau. And none of those things do anything except waste your time. So I tell people, if you call the 800 number in the back of your owner's manual, because it says if you have problems, call us, you're going to be talking to somebody at a call center who is trained to talk to you, try to get you off the ledge, but get you to think that something's going to happen when nothing will happen.
Right.
They'll often say, oh, we opened up a file for you. Do you have a pen? Let me give you this 18-digit number. And they give you a file. Oh, we've opened a file for you. There you go. And then you hang up, and 2 weeks later, you're going, wait, nothing happened. You call back, and they go, oh, give your 18-digit number. And if you got it, they go, yeah, we got your file right here. The file's not doing anything.
Right.
It's never going to do anything.
Right.
They're designed to waste your time, because time is on their side.
Exactly.
Statutes of limitations can run, or the time frames within the Lemon Law itself can run. This, you know, it's in their best interest to stall you, and they will stall you.
They will stall you, and they're going to try to get you to go away with doing as little as possible. So, hey, we'll give you free oil changes for a year.
Right.
Or we're going to give you a car payment. You know, sorry you're going through all this. How much is your car payment? It's $500. Okay, we're going to send you a check for $500.
Along with a release.
Yes. That's the problem. The problem is if the client or consumer signs a release, which means that in exchange for that $500, you're giving up your right to pursue any additional claims against them, then, of course, you've gotten nothing.
Right. So generally speaking, and we talked before about the pitfalls and things that can go wrong with a lemon law claim, I always tell people the first thing you need to remember about a lemon law claim is they're driven by the documents, meaning that document everything. So I hope you got a copy of your purchase agreement or a copy of your lease and a copy of all of your repair orders, because that's where it all starts.
Right. And remember, too, as consumers, you're going to contact, to add insult to injury, you're going to contact lemon law attorneys who are, just by filling out the form on their website, will submit a claim on your behalf to manufacturers.
Right.
And then you're getting this call saying, hey, we got you $2,000, and you don't even know where this is coming from.
Right.
Because these are unfortunately attorneys who are using the information that you filled out, provided them on the website, to submit a claim on your behalf. You have no idea what you're agreeing to by accepting this $2,000. You don't know what they're getting for fees, which is usually more than what they're getting for you.
Right.
And you have to be very careful. That's why you just said, Steve, we always ask people for their documents.
Right.
We want to submit the most robust claim that we can for people. We want to properly represent them to the best of our ability.
Right.
We need to know what we're dealing with.
Right.
So we need to know the repair history. We need to know the purchase document, the terms of that. We need to know what's going on with the financing. So we can go to the defendant, in this case, the manufacturer, and say, look, you're saying this thing was only in twice for this engine light on. Well, we've got that, plus we have transmission problems, plus we have electrical problems and everything else. And that's when we're going to get the best remedy for people.
Yeah, and a lot of people are going to ask, wait, why would the manufacturer not know how many times the vehicle's been in? But it's because you're taking it to a dealership, and dealerships submit warranty claims to the manufacturer, but not always, because if they didn't do any work or chose not to do any work or decided to not build the work for whatever reason. So it might be you brought the car in and complained four times, but the manufacturer only knows about two of them. So unless you have those documents, so I tell people, anytime you bring it in, even they go, there's nothing wrong with it, have them write it up to prove
Absolutely.
You showed it to them, because that does happen, where someone will say, I brought it in five times, I've got two repair orders.
And we see that a lot. So another way the manufacturer is going to defend this case is say, well, yes, we see the vehicle was in, but that we've only done one repair.
Right.
Well, that doesn't matter, because even though it took you the fourth or fifth time to do the repair, our client complained over and over and over about this defect.
Right.
That qualifies you.
Yeah, and remember that many laws, like the Lemon Law, Magnus Moss Warranty Act, and things of that nature, when they're brought into court, the courts are told by the higher courts to construe these statutes liberally in favor of the consumer. So if there's going to be a room for doubt here, it's going to be in favor of the consumer. So the point is that the statute says that you have to report the defect to them. It doesn't say how many times did they work on it and fix it. Because if that was the case, they could just stop fixing it and they would win.
Exactly. And you see manufacturers do that.
Right.
So you see manufacturers where we don't really know what's going on, but there's a lot of times the clients are coming out of the dealership saying, no problem found, could not duplicate, normal operating characteristic. And we see that too often with certain manufacturers.
Right.
And but when there is finally a repair made, or sometimes you have to go to an independent place to, mechanic to confirm what you're complaining about, we can use that.
Right. Right.
So there are, the most important thing is, like you just said, make sure they document that you were in, what you complained about, and even if they say there's no problem found, that's okay. Get that.
Yep. And believe it or not, we're actually past 20 minutes. Before we walked in here, I told Steve, I go, time's going to go flying by the point where you aren't going to believe it. And I know you didn't believe me, but it's true. Steve Stancroft, Romano Stancroft, and I, like I said before, you guys handle cases in Michigan and 22 other states.
Correct.
And I've told people, if you're in another state, I can't help you, unfortunately, but you can go to these guys. So in the description below the video, I'm going to put the website link to you guys. And I'll probably shoot another video with you, and we'll show that one down the road someplace else.
That
also.
Sounds good.
So again, thank you for being on, and thank you for confirming to my viewers that I'm not just making this stuff up.
No.
So there you go. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.